This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We are here on National Hunting and Fishing Day. A lot of events around the country going on to celebrate our heritage and our traditions of hunting and fishing since National Hunting and Fishing Day occurs in September. In the early part of the hunting season, a lot of the emphasis is on hunting, but that's okay, too. Tony Stewart, the NASCAR driver, is the national chairman of National Hunting and Fishing Day, and here in Maryland there is an event taking place at Associated Gun Club's range on Marriottsville Road. There will be some folks there setting up displays and so forth, talking to youngsters, and there will be some participation events there as well. So that is our contribution to National Hunting and Fishing Day as far as Maryland is concerned. And folks from the Department of Natural Resources, Fishing and Fisheries and Wildlife will both be there. Our event today, however, is at ours, as far as the event that I'm familiar with today, is at Pete's Cycle Shop. They're having a little ATV hunting sale. There'll be several vendors there. There will be, and we'll tell you more about that in the commercial, but Tracy Groves will be there with a deer hunting clinic, and he does a good one and answers a lot of questions one-on-one, particular questions. Tracy concentrates on hunting public land and has taken some nice deer on public land. He's an excellent bow hunter, and his scouting techniques and attracting techniques and things like that could be utilized by anyone. So Tracy will be there at 10:30 with a seminar, clinic, mini clinic, whatever you want to call it. At 11:30, John Akehurst will be there. John is a the head honcho at a higher calling hunting team, and he will be doing a waterfowl hunting, primarily goose hunting, a seminar, and that will be, you know, how to call. How to call geese, how to set up your decoys in the field, and basic stuff, things like that. So those two guys will be very entertaining. We'll also have one of our sponsors there, Big Buck Scents. Special offers on Big Buck Scents, which makers, their little brand name is Cold Scent, and you'll hear the commercials on that. Ian Madison is the man in charge there. You'll get to meet Ian and talk to him about deer hunting. Also, Mineral Bob Warden will be there from Wild Minerals, WYLD, and the minerals and feed that I use on our deer plots up in Cecil County will be available for sale. We've been having we put this out maybe 10 days ago now, and refreshed it all yesterday. It'd been hit pretty hard. The mineral stuff had been torn up pretty bad. Very, very good stuff, good attractant, and very helpful to the deer herd. We've got some good photos on our trail cam photos mineral plots. And so, let's see. At the Severna Park store, Ronnie Hall will be there. Hall's taxidermy. He'll have a couple of great deer heads, and that's what he specializes in, is white-tailed deer. Ronnie will be there with his display. And then in the Bel Air store, we have Fountain Green Farm Home and Building Supply up in Harford County. He'll be there with a lot of nutritional supplements for deer, attractants and things like that, the commercially available stuff, the Whitetail Institute stuff. He'll be there if you're listening and going to be headed up to the Bel Air store. Overall, it's all meant to offer you great incentives and deals on all the ATVs at Pete Cycles, but it's particularly sponsored by the folks at Polaris, who are in the midst of their sale on 2012 vehicles. I'll save up to $1,000, and special financing is available there. So that's what's going on. From my perspective today, I will be at the Pete Cycle store in Baltimore. The seminars and the Wild Mineral, and that will be at the Baltimore store. That's on Bel Air Road, just south of the Beltway 32A exit. And I'll be there early for setup time and stay there for a few minutes at the opening. And then I'm off to another event today. So anyway, plus we have a friend of mine, Joe Windsor, has a company called Dead Deer Walking, which is an all-natural cover scent I have used and very impressed with. It is a natural product. It's not a scent eliminator. It is a cover scent that you spray on your clothes, and it is it's excellent, excellent. I was actually hunting the other night and had deer within 10 feet. That's how good it was. And you think, well, that's not you know, too exclusive to have a deer within 10 feet. Well, when you're sitting on the ground looking them in the eye, that's pretty impressive, in my opinion. I also was using Big Buck Scents vanilla curiosity scent. So those two in combination kept deer in the area. They kept the same deer coming back even after she busted me a couple of times. But I'm very happy, and that was on movement. That had nothing to do with any of my scent, because she didn't smell me. She just couldn't figure out what I was, and I apparently blinked or something, and she caught the movement. But that was the big matriarch. She's been trouble in that property before, and if I have an opportunity, I will take that deer. So anyway, it was good evening. Good evening, hunting. But I do have a question. I have an ethical question for you. First of all, what are ethics? What are ethics? What are hunting ethics? And we'd like to hear some of your stories in this regard. Here's the scenario. Deer gets shot in the evening. Deer runs off. Normally, the shot would put the animal down within 50 to 100 yards. But the animal runs out of sight. You pick up the trail. The blood is pretty good and easy to follow. You see the deer standing 100 yards away, and the deer runs off again. And so you wait. You pick up the trail again another half hour later. You jump the deer, and it takes off. Now you know that this, and you find blood where the deer had been bedded down. Now you know the animal's wounded. Now you know the animal is also not ready to expire. So you say, okay, best scenario here, I'll back out. I'll come back in the morning. I'll pick up the blood trail, and I'll find the animal. And you do. You know, you spend a restless night. You find the animal the next morning. Unfortunately, it was too warm overnight. The animal has the bacteria content of the meat has gone sky high. The meat is not healthy. The foxes have found the animal as well, and the other predators, and chewed it up pretty good. What do you do? What do you do? Now, does it matter if it's a buck or a doe? Well, let's say it's a doe. Let's say it's a medium-sized doe. You were going to shoot to fill your freezer and collect on one of your, here in Maryland, one of your tags. You're going to fill your doe tag. So presented the opportunity, and that's the shot you made, and that's the result. The results are you didn't recover the deer that evening. You went back the next morning, and now, unfortunately, the deer, although you found it, is unusable. What do you do? What is your solution? 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. We'd love to hear from you on that question of the day. I don't know that I have to repeat it, but I think that you get the point. I want you to think about it, but I want you to call. What's your immediate gut reaction? What do you do? You've harvested this deer. You've killed the deer. You've taken the deer's life. You did recover the deer. You found the deer, but it is unusable. What is your obligation? What do you personally do ethically, morally? What are your values? What's your value, set of values on that situation? What do you think the legal ramifications are? 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680. I have the answers. I have the answers to some of those questions, but we'd like to hear from you, so we would. Yep. And you do that by calling us. You can also email if you like, and that is Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, at EllisOutdoors.com. Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. By the way, I just remembered on National Hunting and Fishing Day last year, I wasn't here. We'd done a pre-recorded show last year. Brian, I'm sure you remember. I was in Wyoming. Yes, I actually, I was in Wyoming. That was a year ago today on National Hunting and Fishing Day. Can you believe it? Shot a nice antelope. It's on the website, by the way, ellisoutdoors.com. No. I shot the animal. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I mean, I shot him. It was 240 yards. And it was about 600 yards when we spotted it. We spotted out the truck, which is what you do. Put spotting scope on it. Took a little while to determine whether we wanted to take that animal. I mean, we had passed up about 15 of them, 15 antelope bucks that morning. And it was determined by the guide that this was a good antelope. And he uses whatever criteria he uses, you know, wide bases, big cutters, you know, nice curl, enough mass at the top. And he picked out a really nice antelope. So no record book or anything like that, but a really nice typical trophy antelope. So we got out of the truck. We actually walked away from the animal, went down over a little ridge there, got in a dry gully, and walked that dry gully probably 300 or 400 yards. We were out of sight of the antelope, and he was out of he was out of our sight. We could have got to the end, and he would have been gone. But he was bedded, and the guide was pretty confident. So we got down in the gully, and we crept along, and you know, stayed low, and got to the end of the gully. We were on hands and knees, and took a little sneak peek up over the end there, the edge over the rim of this little canyon or gully or whatever you want to call it, and there he was, and we got in position, and they want you to shoot prone. They have a little stand that they put on the ground for you. You lay down, you put your gun on it, which is fine with me, and put the shot on him. He stood up, put the shot on him, and he didn't go anywhere. So nice antelope, very nice. 410-922-6680. I'd like to hear your comments on that, you hunters out there. I know you're talking about it in your cars right now. You're thinking about it, but we'd like to hear from you. We were also in contact with folks at CVA, by the way. We're talking about giving some muzzleloaders away here soon, so I haven't gotten a definitive answer from them, but it looks pretty good, so we'll see how that works out. But we're not going to take those calls today. We're taking your calls on this topic and anything else you'd like to call about. I'd like to hear what you would do in that scenario. Right now, Pete Cycle's having their Polaris open house and hunting event of the season today, September 22nd. For you hunters out there, Pete Cycle's having a deer hunting mini clinic and a waterfowl mini clinic starting at 10:30 at the Baltimore store. And that's on Bel Air Road, exit 32A south on Bel Air Road, about a half mile on the left-hand side. Hunting vendors will be on site from 10 till 2, 4 hours, 10 to 2. I'll be there right at 10 o'clock. For a little bit, and then I've got another event. Save up to $1,000 on 2012 Polaris ATVs and Rangers. Financing as low as 2.99% available. Save up 25% on parts and accessories. Don't miss the Pete Cycle Polaris Open House at all locations in the town of Bel Air, Severna Park, or in the Baltimore store. For more information, visit the website at petescycle.com, petescycle.com. Polaris adult models are For riders age 16 and older, always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not I got the "not" in the wrong place. Polaris Rangers are not intended for street use.
Big Buck Scent's Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks, Maryland's Eastern Shore's home to Big Buck Scent's. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scent arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckScents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Scents. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look clean. You got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was a-working on the chain gang. A mean, vicious, straight razor toting woman. Lord have mercy. Every day
All right.
before supper time.
Enough of poke salad, Annie. Let's talk to Jack over there in Towson. Good morning, Jack. How you doing?
Hi, Alan. It's been a while since I've called you.
Yeah, I'll say.
But I haven't forgot you, and I still listen to your program.
Greatly appreciate it.
Unfortunately, I am no longer in the physical shape that I used to be.
Neither am I, so...
I was quite a hunter years ago, back when I lived in Michigan.
Sure.
And the experience that you're talking about today is almost to the word something that happened to me.
All right.
If I can briefly tell you.
Sure. Like to hear it.
I wasn't a tree hunter or a sit hunter. I was a tracker.
Right.
And that's the way I hunted. I'd go find where the tracks were, and then I'd start looking. And there were so many deer that I was very fortunate anyway to be able to grab one every now and then. And I was always satisfied. Now, I used to carry a Winchester Model 94.
Yep.
And or I also had a 303 infield.
Oh, sure.
And there's a problem. One morning when I found, or one, I guess it was early afternoon, when I found the deer, I was tracking, and just like you said, track the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found the deer, I looked around and waited, and nobody showed up, you know, like it belonged to the guy that shot him.
Right.
The person that showed up was a game warden.
Right.
And the game warden looked at me.
Yeah, of course.
Because I'm, you know, I'm there standing over the body.
Yep.
And the problem was because I hunted with a rifle, and, you know, those were jacketed slug or jacketed rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they go on through the deer.
That's right.
So I could never prove that I didn't shoot him.
Exactly.
Okay. First thing it caused me to do, and I was able to talk my way out of a problem.
Right.
But the first thing I did was I never hunted with a rifle again.
Uh-huh.
Not for deer in the woods.
Right.
I carried a 12-gauge shotgun.
All right.
And the thing is, with slugs.
Right.
You hit a deer with a 12-gauge slug, he's going down.
For the most part, yep.
Yeah, I never had the experience where one could get up and run and say, ha-ha, you didn't really get me.
Yeah.
I did. All right. So the thing, the reason also why I called you was, and I know that certain weapons you cannot use during certain times of the year. You either have to use this one or that.
Right.
And when they opened it all up, for us back then, I think deer season opened on right after or on Thanksgiving Day in northern Michigan. And so I wasn't one to go around and spend a lot of time in the woods. I figured I'd go out, get my deer,
sure,
come home, and that's it. And so changing from that day forward, I always carried a shotgun. And I figured I'm going to bring them down. Now, I've heard stories of guys that used what they call spear, you know, and I've heard of other things. One reason, and I think this was in Alabama, a guy was military type, but he loved to use a spear because he said, you hit a deer with a spear, you know, it's going down.
The yeah, well,
force of the impact is so strong.
Yeah.
But no matter what, it drops that deer.
Well, spears, we don't have a spear season in Maryland, thank God.
Well, the bottom line of all of this is that it caused me to change my ways.
Sure.
I'm going to really be listening for your answer.
All right.
Because it's one that, you know, Alan, this is since back in 1960. Must have been about 1965 when this incident happened
sure.
to me.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a few years, and I never gave it another thought, you know. And now that you mention it, I don't know that it wasn't shot the night before and the guy's experience. I was really angry at the time that somebody would shoot a deer and not go get it.
Sure.
That really, and when, so there are two things that you said this morning. Ethics was one.
Yep.
And I, because I don't know ethics of it, I know my own personal ethics. I would have gone after that deer no matter what.
Exactly. All right.
So maybe you'll get somebody else to call with another answer.
Well, I hope so. Let's see what happens, Jack.
Anyway, Alan, may God be with you always.
Thank you, Jack.
I really enjoy your program. I wish I were in better shape because sometime I would have liked to go out and spend a little time with you, either wetting a line or knocking down a deer.
There you go.
Or getting myself a nice pheasant or something like that.
Sure.
You know, but those days I think are kind of gone. So.
Well, Jack, I appreciate the call, and hopefully that's part of the reason I do this show is to bring back some of those good times to our listeners and let them think back and relive those experiences, whether you see that duck on the wall or that set of horns out in the corner or out in the shed or whatever it might be. You know, that's that always brings back those great memories, and that's why we do what we do.
One other thing I'll share with you. I didn't take that deer with me because the game warden said, no, you didn't shoot him. I accept that. It's not your deer. Go get your own deer.
There you go.
And we didn't have multiple deer permits. We only had the one that we hung on the back of, back of our jacket.
Sure.
But I will pass this on to you. When I did get my deer, you take a venison roast and a pork roast, wrap it with caraway and bacon, and put them in the oven together, and boy, you got good eating.
A pork roast and a venison roast together in the same
in
pot.
In the same pan.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
I'm with you on that.
All right,
buddy.
I'll see you.
Thanks,
God
Jack.
Be with you.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Thank you. Wow. Now, there's a dish. A pork roast and a venison roast in the same pan. I like that idea, and I will try that. Yes, indeed, and I'll let you know how that turns out. Boy, that I made a venison meatloaf last night. I took some mushrooms and onions and put them in the food processor and mixed them in with the venison, just a pound of ground venison, mixed them in, two eggs, mixed all that together, put some salsa in there, half a jar of salsa, little short jars, mixed all that together, put some breadcrumbs in, and put that in the oven, 350, about an hour and 15 minutes, and it was delicious, nice and moist, and the salsa gave it a nice flavor, and all the onions and mushrooms are good for you. So, well, here's the scenario again. If you just joined us and you didn't hear me, first of all, you shoot a deer in the evening. You find a blood trail. You track the deer. You see the deer in the distance still standing. You know it's that deer. You... And the deer runs off. You wait a while. You track the deer. You find where the deer has bedded, but you jump that deer. You see the deer physically get up off the ground and run away. And now it's getting closer to dark. You expected to find a dead deer at the end of the trail, and you found one that ran off. What do you do? Well, what do most ethical hunters do? Let's back out of here. Let's give the deer a chance to survive. Let's not push it any further because, we don't know how far it's going to go. And it's getting further away from the truck, and you're running out of daylight. So you decide it's going to be cool evening. You decide to let the deer, how they say, stiffen up or whatever it might be, or expire overnight, and you pick up the trail in the morning. The next morning, you find the deer, let's say, 300 yards, 400 yards from where you last saw it, where you jumped it out of its bed, where it was, had been hit and hurt. And it's, that it covered that amount of distance. You may not have found it the night before if you'd have pushed it. You may have pushed it onto another property. You may have pushed it onto, the highway. Who knows? But you backed out and you came back the next morning. By the time you found that deer the next morning, early, it was still cool, the meat had already begun to spoil, and the predators had gotten to the meat. The foxes had started chewing on the deer. What do you do? What is your decision? 410-922-6680. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Look, it happens to all of us. If you hunt long enough, and I've been hunting 45 years, if you hunt long enough, you're going to lose a deer. You're going to lose a deer every now and then. And you don't want to, and sometimes this scenario happens. And I've talked to a fair amount of people that this has happened to. I've talked to butchers. I've talked to people that know about disease transmission. Let's say those foxes had rabies. Now what? All right, now we're going to take John's call, and then I want to hear from you, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM 680, 1-800-922-6680. Let's talk to John. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, Alan. How you been?
Good.
Haven't talked to you in a while. Last time I saw you, I think it was NRA show up at Frederick County.
Yep, probably was.
Yeah, ethically.
Yes, sir.
the meat's no good.
Right.
I think I'd leave the corpse there and let it feed Mother Nature.
The carcass. You'd leave the carcass. You wouldn't attempt to do anything with that carcass.
Yeah.
It's you can't do anything with the carcass. Let me tell you some opinions, okay? One fellow I talked to said, you owe it to the deer to harvest whatever bit of usable meat out of that animal that you can. So, okay, do you cut the back straps out, throw them in your pack, and leave with that? Or don't you know if they're spoiled or not?
This is ethics.
That's the right answer for him. That's the right answer for him. Okay. Another fella said, I've done that. I've taken the hindquarters. I've taken the back straps. But I talked to someone who said that if a fox had or a critter had been on that animal, he wouldn't eat it because of bacteria, disease transmission, and things like that. And he said, so I got rid of those parts of the deer. I said, okay. So I talked to another fellow and said, yeah, I've found deer that the foxes have eaten on, the same evening that I've shot it. There's so many foxes. And he said, I just trim the meat out and take it. That's another scenario. Talked to a butcher. He said, we get deer in like that on occasion. We have to be careful to trim around that meat, but we trim around that meat. And he said, for the most part, deer that are left overnight, unless it's very cold, are not worth keeping, as far as that butcher's opinion. So I'm giving you a number of opinions that, I've been in talking to people who teach hunter safety, who are ethical hunters, and all these opinions are out there. So,
alrighty.
So your decision is to leave the deer in the woods?
Yes, I will not argue with any of their opinions.
Right. No, neither will I.
Ethics. But personally, if I had one in that condition,
yep,
I would leave it. Now, I would call it in.
Ah, that was going to be my next question.
I would call it in as a kill.
That's my next question.
Okay.
Why?
It was my kill. It wasn't wanton waste the way I'm looking at it. I was afraid to take that meat and eat it. I left it there so the fox could have it, the mink, and the buzzards, whatever.
Right.
Not going to go to waste.
Right.
Because Mother Nature... And what they don't eat is going to rot and go into the soil, and grass will grow.
Well, and I think you can also help justify that position by saying, look at all the deer that are killed on the road. Those are deer that are absolutely wasted, that nobody even attempts to recover or do anything with. They come along and they treat them like garbage.
Bingo. Know?
Okay, and they treat them like garbage. And thousands and thousands of deer in Maryland are wasted like that.
I have no arguments with what any of the others said, because this isn't a legal thing. It's an ethical thing.
Right.
I would call it in as a kill because
okay.
I did kill it.
All right.
But I'd leave it and let Mother Nature work on it.
Since you brought that up, we'll make that part of the question. I'd like to hear a lot of opinions on this. I really would. I've given you some that I've heard. But I want to...
This is great bringing things up like
well,
this.
Well, what are ethics? What are hunting ethics?
Right.
What are they?
It's not legal. It's what's right.
To you.
To me.
Based on?
My moral set of moral beliefs.
That's correct. Your values
and what I've been trained to do.
Okay, exactly.
Generation after generation.
Sure. I put this little definition down and based it on a couple of things that I read. And it's very, very short. Ethics is a complex code of behavior, and I'll add individual behavior, based on values and or moral convictions.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, all right, good.
Perfect.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that very much. And I eventually I'll tell you what actually happened. But I want to get a bunch of callers to hear what they have to say about that. And that'll be part of the question. Do you check it in?
Okay, old buddy.
All right, buddy. Bye. Thanks, John. See ya.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. All right. Hey, let me tell you about... And let me tell you about one of our great sponsors, Bay Linux of Glen Burnie. I've been running a Linux bed liner for years in my truck, and there's nothing like it. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie, the only authorized Linux dealer in Glen Burnie, is proud to provide outstanding customer service, and I'll verify that, just like their number one rated Linux spray-on bed liners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex bed liners completely seal your bed. They eliminate any water getting onto the steel. They completely seal out rust. They have a durable non-slip surface. They reduce noise and vibration. Linex bed liners resist most chemicals, fuels, and acids and protect against impact. They also clean up just like new at your local car wash. Now, there's a new Linex bed liner called the Extra. It's fortified with DuPont Kevlar. It utilizes the paint code of your vehicle to match your spray-on liner to the color of your vehicle if you like. Of course, there's a standard black, too, if you like that. So protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. On the other side of the coin, Bay Linex has a mobile unit that can come to your farm, your home, your job site, and spray the Linex protective coating on anything in your world that needs protection, whether it's an underground tank, whether it's secondary containment, whether it's your deck, whether it's your trailer, whether it's your liftgate, whatever that might be. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. You can visit them online at baylinex.com. Bobby Hawkins is my friend, and he's the guy. At 410-789-0199, 410-789-0199, find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card when you visit Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and use Ellis Outdoors or the Outdoorsman Radio Show name. Bay Linex. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well anytime to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. Now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer, or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb, or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb.
Are we back?
Oh, okay. I'm sending an email. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Yeah. There we go. Got to send that. All right. And that's how you get to me. Exactly. All right. On email, by the way. Okay. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. Shoot the deer in the evening. You track it. You think you've got a dead deer at the end of the trail. You see the deer. It's still on its feet. You don't get another shot, but you back out for a little while. You go back to where you saw the last deer. You pick up the blood trail again, thinking at the end of it you're going to have a dead deer. You find an area where the deer has laid down, and it jumps up and runs away. It's getting further away. And it's getting dark. You decide that the best thing to do is to leave that animal to expire or to, you know, become disabled. You decide to pick up the trail in the morning. You pick up the trail at daylight. You find the animal 300-400 yards away from where you last saw it. By that time, as it laid overnight, the foxes and other predators had gotten to it, and the meat, because it wasn't quite cold enough, the meat has begun to spoil. What do you do? 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680 is our phone number, and we're hoping to get your reaction to that. So while we're waiting, let me tell you one more time about the Polaris Open House at Pete's Cycle. The Polaris Open House is today. It's the hunting event of the season this Saturday, September 22nd, from 10 to 2 at all three locations. Pete's Cycle's having a deer hunting and waterfowl mini clinic starting at 10:30. The Baltimore store hunting vendors will be on site from 10 to 2. Save up to $1,000 on 2012 Polaris ATVs and Rangers. Financing as low as 2.99% is available. Save up to 25% on parts and accessories. Don't miss Pete's Cycle Polaris Open House at all three locations in the town of Bel Air, Severna Park, or Baltimore. For more information, visit the website, PeteCycle.com. Polaris Adult Models are for riders ages 16 and older. Always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for street use.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
That's all right. I cut him off a little bit. Walt Catonsville, good morning. How you doing, Walt?
Hi, good morning, Alan.
What's up?
This is Walt. You may remember me. I talked to you about fishing in the Key Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Rock Powell.
Sure, all that. I remember. Absolutely.
Actually, things are picking up there a little bit. There was a 30-inch rockfish caught in my boat by me.
Well, congratulations.
Inside the Key Bridge.
Good. Nothing wrong with that.
The tag fish, is that over?
Yeah, that ended on Labor Day, and the celebration was the week after Labor Day. There were, I think, 7 or 8 or 9 anglers that caught. Yeah, 9 anglers that caught tagged fish, and they split the $25,000 9 ways. They were all imposters. Not one of them was the big money fish.
I'm not trying to change the subject.
Yes, you
deer
are.
Hunting, but you had a gentleman, an elder. He may have been elderly. I don't know.
Yeah.
But his name was Jack that called you earlier.
Yes.
I hope, Jack, you're still listening. And he said, God bless you to you at the end.
Yep.
I'm assuming he's a Christian.
Yep.
I am a Christian.
Right.
And I would be happy to take that gentleman out with me.
Well, there you go.
And I do it during a week. I'm assuming he's retired.
Sure.
Or whenever I get a chance.
All right.
Because I have hospice at my house now, and I get a little time out.
I got you.
If I could leave my number.
You may certainly leave your number, Walt. And if Jack calls in, we'll make that connection.
Do you have my number?
No, I said leave your number. Brian will pick your number up at the end of the call here.
Yeah.
And then we'll have it. And
if he calls in, just tell him to call me. I'm up. I mean, he could call now or
I got you.
Whenever.
Okay. Right,
I'd be happy to take that gentleman fishing, and, you know, we do okay.
I got you. All right. Sounds good, Walt.
Okay. I appreciate you. Good show.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. There he goes. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about some fishing violators here in the next hour, but I'd like to hear your opinions and your calls on the topic at hand. Since we're, what are you laughing about? Yeah, be a smarty, Brian. Just go ahead and be a smarty. That's right. Hey, look, the guys that are dedicated deer hunters, they're out there. They're already in the woods climbing their tree stands and that type of thing. I understand how it works. Walt, you're going to have to call back. I apologize. I dropped you off there. Call Brian back and leave your number. My fault. Yeah, I just dropped you. So, Walt, call back and leave your number with Brian. That was my fault. So, anyway. All right. There we go. Is that Walt? Okay, we got Walt back. That was very generous of Walt. Nice fella. Offered to take Jack fishing. Beautiful. Beautiful. So, ethics, a complex code of behavior based on values and or moral convictions. What do you do with a deer that you struck the night before, wasn't quite cold enough to preserve the meat overnight? And my understanding is that it's got to be around 40 degrees or so. Doesn't have to be freezing, but if you imagine, I know people that, won't leave meat out of the refrigerator overnight that's been cooked. And, you know, there you've got an animal that has body heat. It's got internal organs that have been damaged. You've got blood that's going to coagulate. You've got potentially bowel or stomach contents that are loose and floating around in the body cavity. You've got an animal that's been eaten on by predators, and it's not been cool or cold enough to prevent the bacteria from starting to affect the meat. Now, you know, you can argue that, okay, in the deep tissue, if you want to take the back straps out, you know, and use those, you certainly can. You want to take a hind quarter, you can do that. And just, you know, forget the part that was damaged. And that some people believe that is their ethical decision to do that and attempt to utilize as much of the animal as they possibly can. If they killed it, they want to use it. And I think that's fine. I think that's fine. I'm surprised we didn't have more phone calls on this because there are some of you out there that don't want to admit that you've ever lost a deer. And I can tell you that it's going to happen. I average, just myself, and I know I'm beyond the normal. You know, the normal harvest on white-tailed deer and sika deer here in Maryland is one deer per person. I mean, that's the average. If you think about it, we've got 80-some thousand licensed hunters, and we kill 100,000 deer. So 1 to 2 deer is about the average per hunter. Over the last 15 years, I've probably averaged 5 to 6 deer a year. So, you know, I take a lot of shots. I do a lot of managed hunting. Not as lot as some people do. I know some people, that's their thing. That's what they do. And they take dozens and dozens of deer a year. And I'm not saying that. I mean, I hunt in the season. I do go on managed hunts. And, you know, I take a fair amount of deer. For me, way more than I can use, and I do donate some of those deer. But the point is, if you're going to take a lot of shots, eventually you will lose a deer on occasion. And it doesn't matter if you shoot it with a rifle or a shotgun or a muzzle loader or a bow or a, you know, a compound bow, a vertical bow, or a traditional bow, or a crossbow. It's going to happen. The deer might, what they call, jump the string or move or take a step or whatever it might be, and the shot placement may not be perfect. Still a fatal wound, but it takes a long time for that deer to expire. So, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Want to hear from you. And I will, in the last closing minutes of this hour, tell you there we go. Let's talk to James in Baltimore. James, good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Good.
What I would do, I would leave the animal there.
Okay.
Talk about it, because I didn't get him that night. I go back, his body was all got utter rot and whatnot, and fox and whatnot was eating him. I didn't get him, right?
Right.
Because he's already rot. Leave him there and let the other rest animal make use of him. I couldn't use him.
Okay.
That's it.
Do you check him in?
No.
Okay.
Because I didn't get him.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's your call.
Okay, good.
Thanks, James. Bye-bye. Let's talk to Richard. Richard, good morning.
Morning, Al.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, yeah, it's happened to me several different times, several different scenarios. It happened to me, I guess it was year before last, I shot a buck on opening day on public land. I'm using a muzzleloader.
Right.
And I'm borderlining two private areas that are just lousy with hunters.
Right.
And I shot my deer. I saw it. I could tell by the way it was running. I had a hit. And then I waited a couple hours, got down out of my tree, and I started looking. Saw blood. Then I jumped the deer, and it took off running. I'm thinking, holy crap, he's going to run into this
right.
other area. So I stopped looking, and I went home. Basically, once I have a deer that I know is hit, I'm done hunting for one
yeah.
thing for that day. I'm not shooting another deer.
Right.
And then I went back Sunday morning, and but in this particular case, it was cold enough. It
right.
wasn't. You were saying something about if it's warm out, like this time of year.
Right. This time of year, and that's the problem I have with the early bow season. But
yeah.
But go ahead.
But if it, you know, so I just basically I try not to give up looking for my deer. I
right.
get to that deer to recover that deer. And so I just started looking, knowing the terrain that I, you know,
sure.
how I know it. I started at the bottom and was zigzagging my way up to the top.
Did you find it?
I found it.
Okay.
I found the deer, and it had been eaten on.
Right.
And I just, the rest of it seemed fine. So
okay.
I just cleaned it, checked it in, and leave it up to the butcher's discretion.
Okay.
To say, you know, hey, this is no good, this is good.
Right.
Because the year before that, I was bow hunting, and I jumped a deer that had been wounded.
Right.
And so I hunted that morning, come out of the woods, and I wasn't going to hunt the afternoon, but I thought, I'm going back in the afternoon, and if that same deer is still in that same area, I'm going to have to put it down.
Right.
And so it was, and I did, with the bow.
Right.
And I took it home, and I started cleaning it.
Yeah.
And where that wound was, the smell was the worst thing I've ever
Oh, sure.
In my life.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I said, man, I got to get this to the butcher now.
Yeah.
Have him cut this whole section out.
And?
And he called me up and said, I would not eat this deer.
Well, there you go.
You know, so. Yep. You know, again, I said, okay, just dispose of it.
Right.
But I checked the deer in as my kill.
Sure.
You know.
Absolutely.
But my I just feel I owe it to the deer to not stop. It took me 2 days to find a deer one time.
Right.
I shot a deer. It was in January, snow on the ground. It was that late season when they first started these late season doe hunts. And I shot a deer in the evening. And it was so many darn deer and deer tracks.
Oh, I know how that
you
is.
You know, it's
yep.
like, okay, which one's my
yep,
deer?
Yep, exactly.
So I thought, okay, I'll go back Sunday morning and again, look for my deer.
Yeah.
So I jumped my deer on a Sunday morning, and it took off running in the woods. And I thought, holy crap, now I'm on a Sunday. I can't have a weapon. Am I
right.
still alive? So I go back on Monday.
Right.
With my bow. And had it not been for the snow, I'd have never found that deer. Because
right.
I used, you know, the snow helped me find. And I shot it with the bow, and then I checked it in as a bow kill.
There you go.
You know, but just... Tell all the hunters out there to stay after the deer.
Stay after the deer, and you can eventually get
First
it.
First and foremost, wait on a good shot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait on a good shot. You owe it to the deer to wait on a good shot.
Very good, Richard. Appreciate
right.
that.
Thanks
Thank you.
Down.
All right. There's Richard's opinion. He checked him in. He found him. He stayed on him. Since we're running out of time, we'll conclude this early on the other side of the hour and give you time to call in. Now, I did not have a chance.